Are the 2019 elections, for example, the Kentucky gubernatorial race or what happened in Virginia, a harbinger of things to come? There's a reported revolt in the suburbs against Donald Trump. Meanwhile, what does this mean for Christians concerned about the pro-life issue and religious freedom? Our guest right now for this portion of Vocal Point is Jenna Ellis Reeves. She is a constitutional attorney. She's very young, and she's the author of a book called The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Jenna, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
Sure. And by way of full disclosure, I understand you're on some Trump team of some sort as a young person or as a constitutional attorney or as a religious person. Explain that, please.
Yes, all of the above. I have the pleasure and privilege of serving on the Trump 2020 Advisory Board in my capacity as a constitutional law attorney. And so you'll see me often on Fox News, CNN, a variety of other outlets. I also contribute to the Washington Examiner, Daily Wire, National Review, and a host of other publications.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Okay, Thank you. And it's wonderful to actually be able to serve and support also an administration that is so incredibly dedicated to pro-life and religious freedom.
Okay, so what would you say to those who say, well, Donald Trump is racist, sexist, homophobe, pig, you know, et cetera?
Where's the proof? You know, everyone keeps just pivoting to those particular attack points. And if you actually look at the proof and the data, it's just simply not there. And so while, you know, some people on the left try to manipulate the narrative and they try to attack Donald Trump with all of these just terrible terms, I mean, that's literally the only thing that they're trying to say against him. And it's just simply not true. You know, I've met the president personally. I've spoken with him even recently. And I can tell you, even just as a woman and from personal experience, he is one of the most kind and sincere people I've ever met. And I know personally that his heart for America and for conservatism and for our Constitution, for religious liberty, for pro-life is genuine. And none of these attacks have any merit.
Hmm. All right. Let's talk about November 5, 2019, the recent elections. For example, the governor of Kentucky was Republican. He lost. Initially wouldn't concede. It seemed like that. But Trump did try and, you know, stump for him and so forth. Your comments.
Yeah, you know, Kentucky is a really interesting state because you see that conservatives on every other level in terms of their executive branch, the first, black attorney general who's very pro-life that Trump also endorsed and advocated for, won by a wide margin. You have the Secretary of State. You have the other executive offices that that went conservative. And so really what happened in Kentucky was not at all a referendum against Donald Trump, but rather, I think that the margin, because it was so, so close, because there was a third-party libertarian candidate, if you look at the margin, had those voters gone to Matt Bevin, then he would have won a decisive victory in Kentucky. So this is where we as conservatives really need to be careful with our vote and where and who we are supporting, because even though some people may not want to support the mainstream Republican candidate, they want to do a third party, they don't even want to vote, that will have an impact. And I think Kentucky is a very prominent recent example of telling Americans that we have to be very, very conscious of how we exercise our vote.
And make sure that we do it. I mean, you do hear reports from time to time about, oh, not enough Christians vote. But I've heard, for example, from David Barton, he said that if Christians showed up, biblical,
okay, you cut out.
You know, you can't hear me.
There we go. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I've heard from David Barton and other sources that if Christians showed up and voted their biblical values, we would win virtually every election.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of Christians have actually bought into this false notion of separation of church and state, and we can't get into, quote unquote, dirty politics. Well, if we look at what our founding fathers designed with a constitutional republic, we the people have a wonderful opportunity, privilege, and I would argue a duty and responsibility to select and prefer Christians for our leaders. And we have the opportunity every election to cast our vote in a meaningful way and to endorse candidates who stand for religious freedom, for pro-life, for the rule of law, for the Constitution. And when we are derelict in that duty and we don't exercise our vote, then we are conceding that we are willing to go along with the rule of whomever the rest of the population votes for. That's just the reality in our particular civil society. And so I would encourage every Christian, absolutely vote every single time. And it's not just in the presidential election, which of course is very important, but also the state and local level, because like we saw in Kentucky, elections have consequences. And like we saw in Virginia, elections have consequences. And now in Virginia, because the Democrats, for the first time in the last, I think it's just this century, that the Democrats now have full control over the governorship as well as the House and the Senate there, then extreme abortion agenda can be passed, extreme measures to not protect and preserve our liberty. And so all of these things have consequences. And when we look at the cases that the Supreme Court ends up deciding, like the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that determines can a business owner operate their business according to their sincerely held religious beliefs. That started in my home state of Colorado with a baker who had no idea that that was going to end up being his legacy. This starts on a state and local level. We have to vote. And we also have to pray for our nation.
Yeah. Amen. All right. I totally agree with you. By the way, going back to the Virginia issue in the state and the Senate, what happened there? Could that be in part, did you just have the swamp? A lot of the people in the swamp live in Virginia, and that's why, they're pushing back. The swamp is pushing back against Trump.
Yeah, and you know what happened in Virginia is so unfortunate, and there were a lot of really good people trying to come out and canvass. And again, you know, if Christians showed up and actually voted our values and didn't have to have a perfect candidate but would elect a person willing to use their office, yeah, in support of values. I mean, we're never going to have a perfect candidate.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and you know, even if you or I were to run, I'm sure that people could look at my life and say, you know, well, you're not the perfect Christian, and I'm not. But I know that I would be supporting and defending the Constitution and Christian values in public service. And so we need to make sure that we are engaging, and we need to use examples like Virginia this past election as examples of what we shouldn't ever allow to happen again.
Now, you look at somebody like George Soros, who, spent a lot of money. So did Michael Bloomberg, I understand, all fighting for the wrong causes, all pro-abortion, anti-religious freedom, pro-socialism, pro-take away the guns, all this kind of stuff, you know, just pouring millions. And in fact, when I saw one of those articles about him, supporting all these different candidates, some of whom won, I was thinking, well, where's our George Soros's? I don't think we have any.
Right. Well, you know, and we do have a few, you know, people who, and actually more than just a few, but we do have a great lobby of individuals who are willing to put dollars into elections. And, you know, if you're one of those people who's listening to this program and you have the opportunity to give to elections and to causes and to help some of these candidates, I mean, elections do take dollars. That's just the reality, because people who are running in elections need to have staffing. They need to have media play. They need to have their messaging get out. And so there's a wide variety of ways that we as a collective Christian community can help and support these wonderful candidates to get elected. And so I know that it's been very encouraging to see how much President Donald Trump has raised in the third quarter. He actually raised, the number was $125 million compared to almost double of what President Barack Obama raised in the same quarter of going into his reelection. And so I think that's really encouraging that people are giving. And, you know, whether or not you're a high-level donor or small, my mom will always just give, whether it's $20 or $25 to a candidate that she believes in, because she's saying, you know what, God can do he can do amazing things with just even, you know, my little gift. And I think if everyone had that attitude and was fully invested with their vote, with their finances, with their prayers, with all that we can do. We need to be involved and engaged in our civil society as much as we are committed and engaged to our church and to our family as well.
Yeah. When you were talking earlier about preferring Christian candidates and so forth, I was reminded of a quote, and I know you know it, but the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay, made a statement almost along the lines of what you were saying. You were essentially paraphrasing what he said. Can you talk about that, you know, preferring Christian candidates?
Yeah, and so the quotation is talking about how we need to select and prefer Christians as our leaders. And the rationale for that is not what the left and the mainstream media would say as far as, you know, well, we Christians are just trying to legislate our beliefs on others. In fact, this is what my book describes, The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution, how our founding fathers set up our constitutional republic to make sure that we understand that our rights come from God, our creator, not our government, and the sole legitimate purpose of government is to protect and preserve those rights for the individual and to protect and preserve the most liberty and freedom for the individual. And who's going to do that? Well, people with a Christian worldview basis, because we have to understand that morality is objective. The rule of law is objective, and it comes from God, our creator, not our government. And so the left democracy and just the will of, you know, the majority of the legislature and what they're wanting in sheer power and democracy, that will ebb and flow with the whim of whether it's Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, or Bernie Sanders, you know, and all of these policies will change depending on their whim. That's not what the founders intended. They intended objective truth to be protected and preserved for the individual so we could have free exercise of religion. We could have a diversity of beliefs, and so that you and I, as Christians, can go out into the public square and make sure that we have free exercise of speech and of association and of religion so that we can advocate for our Christian worldview in the public square and hopefully bring others into the saving knowledge of Christ. And our founding fathers understood that in order to have that free exchange of ideas, we have to protect and preserve liberty for everyone.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left, Jenna, and I want to ask you about the suburbs. Is there a revolt in the suburbs against Donald Trump? A revolt from the soccer moms who don't like his tweets, et cetera.
You know, if you look at the Women for Trump coalition, and, you know, there are so many pictures at every rally of women who are holding these signs who just absolutely love the fact that Donald Trump is pro-women and genuine women's rights, not, you know, not the right to go out and kill unborn children at whim, but genuine women's rights, genuine equality, what that actually means in terms of equal protection under the law. We're seeing through the Women's Coalition that there is such a profound movement actually for women who are just ardent advocates of this president. And so I think that that is just a false narrative that is being spun primarily to intimidate women like, you know, like me and like others, like my sister-in-law, to say, oh, you know what, there's a little bit of peer pressure. Should I really be endorsing and openly saying how much I love this president? And I would encourage everyone, don't be intimidated. Don't be concerned about that. Stand firmly for voting your values and for voting for the best candidate, which I absolutely believe is Donald Trump.
And the thing is, you know, what you said earlier about there's no perfect candidate, including Trump, of course. I think that's a really important point. I, in reference to marriage, and this is, we only have about half a minute left, but I know a lady that's beautiful and she ought to be married, but she keeps turning him down because nobody's Mr. Perfect. Well, she's never going to find Mr. Perfect because there is no Mr. Perfect. And then,
exactly.
So you, applying that to voting and candidates, you know, they're not all perfect. Nobody's perfect. So vote for the best one that can win, that has good values.
Absolutely. We have to take the person who is best understands the Christian worldview and is most like Christ in their capacity as either an elected official in the church sphere as our pastor and in that family sphere as well. I mean, you know, my husband isn't a perfect man, but, you know, I married him and I love him. And you know, for all of the wives out there can completely relate. And so if I had expected in any of those tiers, a pastor, an elected official, or a husband, to be Jesus himself, well, then we'd be waiting until literally the second coming.
Okay. Jenna, thanks so much for being with us. And her Twitter handle is at Jenna Ellis Reeves. Reeves is spelled R-I-V-E-S. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.